There you go, the brilliant ELO coming to Dublin next year. If there's still tickets out there, go and get them. I'm sure it'll be an amazing gig. Okay, joining me on the phone now, I have Colin White. Colin is the author. He's put together this great book called Dalymount Park, A Pictorial History. How are you, Colin?
How you doing, Mark? How's things?
Not too bad at all. Colin, it's great to have you on. When I saw, straight away when I saw the book, I thought to myself, I have to talk to this chap because... apart from anything else, I think Dalymount Park is so steeped in the history of the north side of Dublin, and I think it's very much forgotten about by a lot of people, and it's great to see people bringing it back to life and reminding people what a wonderful amenity it has been down the years. But to start with, Collie, if we could, before we talk about putting the book together, yeah. Your own connection with Dalymount Park, take us back to what first got you down there, how you got involved, what your interest was.
Sure, well, it kind of stems back to the granddad who played for Bowes in the 1920s and 1930s.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of in the family. I didn't really have a choice. I was going to be a Bowes fan whether I liked it or not. So, the granddad played for Bowes in the 1920s and 30s, so he would have played in the team in 1927 and 1928, who were kind of they're famous in Bowes circles because they won every trophy that year.
Yeah.
And the same year, he actually got a cap for Ireland. So he got one cap for Ireland, scored two goals. So, yeah, basically from that stem, who I never met. He was dead before I was born, so I never actually met him. But the dad was a Bowes fanatic as well, so it was passed on to him, and my dad would have went to Bowes games from the age of three or four, you know.
Yeah,
and then it was something similar with me when I was very, very young, maybe probably four or five. The first visit to Dalymount, and I've been going ever since, basically. So I would have been in the stadium thousands of times, and I've played at the ground. I played for Bowes Schoolboys as a young fella, so I've played in the ground, and I've watched probably thousands of games there. So it's obviously a kind of steeped in history. So. Yeah, it's a deep kind of base I have with it. I kind of know the place inside out.
Yeah, yeah, and it is a wonderful history. I mean, look yourself. I'm a Bowes fan too, and I go down every Friday night with my son and every home game or whatever. And when you'd be telling them, I'd be sitting there some nights and he'd be saying to me, you know, what was it like? And I'd be telling them, you know, when it used to be packed to the rafters and going down for the pre-season friendlies or the Ireland games and stuff like that. Or even big League of Ireland games when they used to get massive crowds of 15, 20,000, which wasn't 100 years ago. It was only a few years ago they were getting big crowds still. And it's great to keep those memories alive. And I think this book is going to be part of that now because you can tell all the stories you want, but I sometimes see me on someone and it's hard for them to envisage the place full to the rafters. It's when they see the black and white, it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, there's some images... like particularly in the glory years for the ground, arguably are like the 50s and 60s, and there's some images where we have, and you can tell the place is absolutely packed out, like you're talking 45,000 people, which is hard to, if you visit the ground now, it's hard to envisage that many people in such a small area, you know, and especially walking up the lane towards the turnstiles, it's so tight that to imagine 45,000 is kind of difficult.
But
and you can tell from some of the images we have that, you know, the kids, we were talking to some people, we have Dalymount moments kind of scattered throughout the book, so we would have talked to players from the 50s, 60s and kind of more recent players like Glenn Crowe and Jason Bourne, just sharing their kind of favourite memories of the ground. So and talking to some of the older players, you know, and even as they were young players going into the game, bunking into the Ireland games, hopping over the turnstile, you know, it was a kind of a by hook or by crook, you were trying to work your way into those massive Ireland games that were, you know, obviously a massive deal to football fanatics that were of that age.
I remember that my first visit down there, I remember my dad took us down, myself and my two young brothers, 1979, Ireland were playing the USA. And the place, the queues were around the block. And I remember my dad talked to a policeman, and my younger brother David was roaring and crying because we couldn't get in. And this policeman took us up underneath the car park of the shopping centre, and he kicked in an old turnstile, and he says, "There you go."
Different times.
You wouldn't see that happening nowadays. But that was my.
I have a kind of a similar memory for. I think when I was young, I think Ireland were kind of wrapping up in Daly Mount. There wasn't. So I was at one game, I think it was 1990, which would have been the only Ireland full international I would have been at the stadium. And it was something similar. I'm pretty sure that the dad got me in somehow, rather than having a ticket, it was just different times. It's not like that anymore.
Absolutely. But, I mean, we'll jump forward a little bit, and I don't want to take away from the book a minute, but as we see now, we've had great news this year, and I think not just for Bohemians fans, I think for all football fans, it's great that there's a plan now to develop Daly Mount Park, to keep it alive, to refurbish it a little bit, because it is the home of Irish football, it's not just the home of Bohemians, and so it's great to see that that's happening, and hopefully in years to come we can start getting maybe a few more internationals back there, even if they'll just be internationals or whatever, and we can start getting the crowds back in.
Yeah, I think the future, it's been kind of a bit of a perfect storm. Like the release of the book is purely coincidental, with the club being 125 years old this year, and then with the Dublin City Council purchase of the stadium, and there's a lot of big plans, which are, I think there might be an announcement next week about the kind of bit more detail about those exact plans.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of coincidental, the timing with the book, which is kind of nice, but it's great to have the, because I was worried as a Bowes fan that, those could be gone. We were so much in debt.
Yeah.
We had the stadium as kind of, was our saving grace, really, was the fact that we owned the ground. But the fact that it's in the hands of the council, which they seem to have kind of pre-forward thinking plans. I can imagine there being quite a lot of big internationals. And I'd say bringing concerts back to the ground could be something that we'll see more in the future. And kind of making it even more of a community centre. And that can only have benefits for not just Bohemians, but the League of Ireland in general,
Yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned the concerts there as well. I was going to come on to that next because, for lots of people, maybe the only time they were ever in Daly Mount Park was to go to a concert. And, again, I had to say to some people, and when you go into the bar there at Daly Mount, you see all the music memorabilia and all. It's amazing when you see the artists who actually played in Croke Park or in Daly Mount Park. Bob Marley, Tin Lizzy, all of these guys, and these were big. I remember growing up in Finglas, these were massive music festivals. These were the biggest artists in the world coming and playing in Daly Mount Park. So there's those memories there as well.
Yeah, the concerts was something I was kind of keen to include in the book. So I was chasing images for quite a while, and I was lucky enough to get access to some Bob Marley images, which I'm delighted to have in the book, and also some images from the Red Hot Chili Peppers gig. I think it was in 93 or 94. I was actually at the concert, and I was very young, and I probably didn't fully realise the importance of the event at the time. But I can actually remember being there. I remember, I think Destiny's Child and Beyonce were supposed to play not too long ago, but that was actually for health and safety reasons. Yeah. It never happened, so I didn't quite get the Beyonce image in the book, unfortunately.
He could have stuck
but
it in
the concerts were massive.
Yeah.
So, that was something I was very keen to include, and it's not necessarily just a football venue. Obviously, it's famous for its football, but there's been a lot of, even, I think in the 20s, there was big boxing matches there as well. So there's, and even, it's not just about soccer. It's kind of, and I think that's where the future should be for the ground, that it's a kind of community centre where local clubs can use, and it doesn't even have to be necessarily just soccer clubs. The more we can make that stadium and retain the history of the stadium, but also invite all new events in, I think is pretty exciting.
Yeah, and For the surrounding community of Fisbrough and Cabra down there, to have an amenity like that in the middle of the community can only be a benefit. As we say, we're not 1,000,000% sure about the Dublin City Council plans, but we know that the idea is to make it a community amenity. So again, that can only help to build up the profile of the whole area. So there's benefit for everybody in it.
Of course, and like the people who live in the area, Daly Mount, it's very important to them.
Yeah.
Even if they haven't necessarily stepped foot in the place in a while, it still kind of retains an emotional attachment to it, with not necessarily people from Fibsborough, but like people in Finglas, people in Coolock, just the north side in general, because yeah. it's very much a north side venue, you know. It's the home of Irish football. It's on the north side, which I think is something we should always retain. You know, soccer being a kind of a working class sport, I'd see it as a, I think soccer is very much a north side of Dublin sport, traditionally anyway. That's kind of changed as it's become more popular throughout the country, but it's very important to retain the history, and you can kind of sense the attachment that local people have to the place when you speak to them, you know. And to think that we nearly lost the ground would have been an absolute tragedy. And we have John Giles has written the foreword to the book, mm-hmm. and in his foreword you can read the emotion that he has for the stadium. And we're lucky enough to have him speaking at the launch. We have a launch in Dalymount on Wednesday this week at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I'm delighted to have John's kind of agreed to say a few words. So obviously the fact that he's coming out and he's given his time just goes to show if it's how important it is to people like John, and there's thousands of people like that would have been absolutely gutted to lose the stadium. So I think the most important thing is that we still have the stadium, and I'm glad the book is not after the event. We could have easily lost the ground if certain actions weren't taken. So I think the future looks pretty bright for the ground now.
Yeah, which is great to see. We'll just take it back to the book itself, Colin. Obviously something like that doesn't come together overnight. It takes a lot of work and a lot of help from an awful lot of people. I'm sure it's been a labour of love, and you can hear it in your voice that it was a passion. But was it difficult to get off the ground and put together? But once you got running, it kind of took care of itself.
It was first mooted kind of like about a year and a half ago, so it's been a very, very much an ongoing process. When the idea was put forward to me by someone I knew in Corrick Press, who were the publishers, I thought that the idea sounded great. I knew I wanted the book to look like almost immediately, just knowing the history of the ground. But I had no idea whether it was going to be commercially viable or whether how easy it was going to be to obtain the images. It's one thing knowing where the images are, but, you know, we need to obtain all the rights. So it's been very much ongoing. I've gone into the National Library numerous times looking through negatives, through a viewfinder, and you're kind of, we came up with an agreement for the National Library, but when you're ordering these images, you've only really seen it as a negative through a viewfinder. So when you actually get the high-res version sent, it's a lot of intrepidation. You're hoping that the focus and the quality of the image is as good as you hope it is.
Yeah.
But, so it's, and each source has kind of opened up a new door. Like, being in touch with someone, they would suggest, have you got in touch with such and such? So if the book was being released next year, it would have continued evolving, you know. Yeah. But I'm really happy with how it finalised. I think I had my wish list of images, and I've managed to secure pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the images in the book, even if someone knows the history of the ground quite well, I think a lot of these images haven't been seen before.
Yeah.
And the Irish Photo Archive are very good to us as well, so we had a deal with them. And they had a massive amount. I think they have 1,000 photographs from Dalymount from predominantly the 50s and 60s. So to have a choice of using their images, which were already kind of digitised, so I could see them on screen, that was a massive part. And they've been very helpful. And then there's a lot of people that have offered their images for free. People connected with the club, and then they've suggested other people. So without the people that have offered their images for free, the book wouldn't have got off the ground, because we had a budget to work with, but it was pretty small. So without the people that have offered their images free, it wouldn't have happened, you know. So I'm very grateful to them.
Yeah,
they've been very, and even with the launch, the enthusiasm they're shown for the book almost matches mine, you know. It's obviously something they're very proud to have their image involved in the book, so they deserve a particular shout out.
Absolutely. Well, Colin, listen, I'm really looking forward to seeing it and having a rummage through, and I think it's going to be wonderful, as I say, especially for younger people now who go to Dalymount Park and they see it as it is now and can't visualise what it was like. I know sometimes on TV and all we see old games and old footage. I think recently they showed the Ireland v Russia game from 1974 in Daly Mount Park. And I called my son down from bed. I says, come down here for a minute. I said, that's what Daly Mount Park used to be like. And you know, it's brilliant that that's being preserved and it's going to be kept. And you know, a wonderful past, and we can look forward hopefully to a very bright future. Listen, good luck with the launch, Colin. When is the book? Is it on sale now or is it coming out?
It's on sale. Yeah, it's already on sale. Last week it arrived, so it's on sale in Easons, in Hodges and Figgis, and in Dubray Books as well.
Yeah.
So, and if by any reason you can't see it on the shelves, just ask the till, because it is in stock there. And then the launch we have this Wednesday, which obviously the book will be on sale at the launch on Wednesday. So it's kind of an open invite if anyone's interested to go on Wednesday. It's in the members bar in Daly Mount at 7 o'clock. And John Joyle was speaking, and Minister Pascal Donoghue was saying a few words as well. So it should be a nice little celebration of a night.
Sounds like it's going to be a lovely night, and we wish you every success. And of course, you know, Christmas coming up, there'll be a lovely little present for people if anyone's out there looking for
something.
Absolutely. Listen, Colin, thanks very much for talking to us this morning on Near FM. And as I say, we wish you every success. And sure, I'll see you down around there one of these days.
I hope so, Mark. Thanks very much for having me on.
Not at all, Colin. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.